What's new, Nate?
So I caught 21.
Did that catch you off guard?
I can't. I've done it four times. I don't know. No, I caught 21 fish with my fly rod in an hour this weekend.
Is that the record for all time most fish caught by a fly rod fisherman ever?
Yes, I think so. I don't think they keep those records, so we're just going to say yes.
Yeah. Just I don't think anyone's ever caught 21 fish. But since you are bragging about that, I will ask this question. How big were said fish?
Hand size and smaller, most of them.
Yeah. Would you say they were average size, greater or less than 7 inches?
That's 2.8 fish a minute.
That's pretty good. It's pretty good average there.
It's not.
No, wait.
We've recorded this three times, and you've gotten that math wrong. Every time.
How do you do it? How do you do the numbers? It's a fish.
2.8 minutes.
Thank you. Yes.
Yep.
That's.
So. But yeah.
We've answered that. Oh my God. Oh. Well. Nate, congrats on your fly fishing prowess. We're using a 2-weight, 3-weight. Like what are you throwing?
I was using a 5-weight.
Really? Going in case you got spooled by a big boy.
Throwing a little popper on a 9-foot 4X leader. You know, doing some double hauling.
Yeah.
And
you're gonna reach out to like Cheeky or Hatch or Nautilus.
Roll casting a little bit and
do you really roll cast?
I do.
To like get up under the trees?
It's if you have trees behind you.
Oh,
if you have something behind gotcha. If you can't like really get a good cast, you can roll cast it.
I have a question. Do you ever take your rod and like let out some line and just like go like this around you like a lasso?
She's
and then
like
watch like
I don't
cast
know what
it.
That dance was. What was
no,
that dance?
I don't do that.
Gangnam Style. That's what she was doing. It took all of my considerable brain power to remember that. Well, Nate, congrats. I'm super stoked for
you.
Thank you.
It was a lot of fun.
You must be very proud. But are these brim black bass?
These are brim. Like, yeah, these are brim. I caught one little bass, but most of them were brim. And it was a lot of fun.
Are
they were like
various species of brim?
Some red-breasted sunfish.
Oh.
And some bluegill. And
any warmouth?
No warmouth, no stump knockers. Mm. Really red-breasted and bluegill.
Well, keep us up to date on that. I'm sure our listeners are like they're probably got a tally sheet out right now.
They're waiting on with bated breath.
Yeah, if they're sure or with flied breath.
Do fly fishermen use reels for anything? Is that how that works? Like, yeah, what
yes.
is on a they
yes,
do?
There's a fly.
I had a
yes,
joke.
There's a reel
brewing about. Can you use your beard oil to lubricate your reel? But then I didn't know if they used a reel.
Yeah, no. I appreciate the hustle.
Just give the beard a little stroke and then like rub it into the reel.
What's new with you, Em?
All right, what's new with you, Travis? Can we be done with this conversation?
We threw it two different directions.
Yeah, you go. You go ahead and go.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Well, I wasn't prepared for this.
Well, be prepared.
Be prepared. I have some new reviews.
How stoked are you about this?
I'm pretty stoked. It's been a minute.
Where are our reviewers?
I guess we'll see them all in August.
Our listenership has gone up. Our reviewer ratio has not.
We have lessened our call to action on leaving reviews.
Is that what you think is happening?
Because we hit our goal for 2018, yeah, and now we have become slothful in 2019.
With complacency right. set in. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to this and you've never left us a review, if you would leave us a review, that would be super awesome.
Mm-hmm. Most people who leave us reviews become like friends, not only friends of the show, but friends on Facebook. And then they undoubtedly mock us on social media publicly. So
yeah,
it's a good place to be.
So if you're mocking us and you've not left a review, how dare you?
So let me get into this. This review is entitled Duck Recipes and it's from GameCox87. What? Do we know what that username is?
Yes.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
The South Carolina,
South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Oh. What a terrible.
No, it's not terrible. It's what they are. SEC Nation.
That's so awkward.
Beat the best. You got to play the best.
Okay. It's a 5-star review. He, she, GameCox87. Really enjoy listening to your show. Wish I could hear y'all's favorite ways to cook duck. You can respond to that. As a hunter of multiple states, is Florida your favorite place to hunt, or do you like hunting other states during certain times of the year? Also, go Gamecocks.
Because he's South Carolina. Maybe he's born in 87, graduated from South Carolina. Maybe he graduated from South Carolina.
This could also be a she.
She, he.
It's an undiscernible. It's a gender-free name.
Yeah, and that's okay. We're a gender-free show. Nate, do you want to respond to... That felt really weird to say, but I think I'm okay with it.
I feel
Nate,
good about
do
it.
Do you want to respond to the favorite way to cook duck? I know long-time OG listeners are going to be like rolling their eyes at you, but go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. And be looking for a blog post about this in the coming weeks. But yeah.
Do you have a blog?
No, he's going to write. He's going to write for the show. We're going to start seeing some recipes roll out online.
Oh my gosh, I love that.
So, my favorite way to cook duck, especially like wood duck, when the meat is very, very rich and flavorful. So, I like to get a cast iron skillet, ripping hot, 500 degrees. A little bit of vegetable oil in the bottom, or butter, but vegetable oil is a better temperature
smoke point.
It does better at, yeah, it has a higher smoke point, does better at higher temperatures. Skin on, lay these duck breasts skin side down on the cast iron skillet while it's hot.
It's hot, right?
Let those rock and roll for about 2 minutes.
Right, skin side down, just
skin side down. I mean, just like searing. Get that skin
roll. Sound effect.
Yeah, that was great.
Stop talking for like 5 seconds and let Nate finish a freaking sentence.
And then you let those rock and roll for about 2 minutes, and then you flip them and get them to about medium rare. Get them to about medium rare, and then pull them and let them rest. And while you let them rest, take your like red wine and deglaze the pan while it's still fairly hot. You want to let the pan cool down just a little bit, but you pour a few tablespoons of red wine in the pan, let it deglaze. Add a knob of butter, add a crushed clove of garlic in there, and just kind of get all that working together. And then simmer that down so you get like a nice little glaze going, little sauce. And then drizzle that over the duck breasts and cut them. It's the best.
Everyone gets to know each other in the pot.
That's fantastic.
Did you know the word deglaze, or did you just like pull that out of your butt?
Like, no, I know that word.
He knows that word. We did an episode about what I want to eat for Christmas and all that.
And he gave the same recipe.
And I think we talked about the meat eater people's recipes before.
Right. Maybe. Yeah. That's a good, I like the word deglaze. What was the other part of his question?
It was, as a hunter of multiple states, is Florida your favorite place to hunt, or do you like hunting other states during certain times of the year?
Do you want to weigh in on this first?
Yeah. Florida is, since I don't live in Florida anymore, but I still do like to hunt Florida because that's what I grew up doing. That's what I know the best. But I do enjoy to hunt other states. I've been to several other states hunting because I just like to go to new places and see new landscapes and do new things. So,
and Gamecocks 87, I'm the exact opposite. I have no desire to ever hunt anywhere but Florida. That's not saying I won't do it. It's just, I just love Florida so much. Like, that's where I want to spend my time. It's like a special thing. I don't want to miss days in Florida. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to go away to an Arkansas or a Louisiana or a North Dakota during days I could be hunting in Florida, no matter what, just because it's a special place. So not to disparage people that do. Go ahead. You got another review.
I got another review. This one's from 60 Hertz, called Get the Net. Another 5 stars. This is the speckled trout of podcasts. It's got an A instead of an O for podcast. It says podcast.
Okay, can we stop there for a second?
Uh-huh.
How do you feel about me calling the speckled trout of podcasts? Do you think this is, okay, first off, is this an homage to when
is that like pad thai, a podcast?
Or is this like an homage to when we tried to do a New England accent when you were talking about the sexiest accents a few weeks back?
Oh, remember, it could be.
Nate and I tried to park the car, Boston Yard. It's a podcast.
Podcast.
Wow. I'm okay with being called a speckled trout.
That's the worst.
Is it, though?
Who is the snook or the tarpon?
I was going to say, yeah. I'd rather be the snook of podcasts.
Probably Meat Eater and the other duck podcast.
No.
And then, but it's still part of like a grand slam or a slam, a southern slam, a Placida slam.
If they're the snook and the tarpon, why can't we be the redfish? Why we got to be a speckled trout?
I don't know, dude. It's just what we are, okay?
Why can't we be a triple tail? Or...
Well, actually, they go on to explain that. Please hold. Oh, okay. This is the speckled trout of podcasts. Lots of head shaking.
Well, that's true.
Lots of head shaking. Great when fresh, never frozen, and is always best when fried. Stay woke. Now pass me the hot sauce.
He's obviously a fan of our hot sauce draft.
We've ever gotten in our life.
Yeah, that was really good.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's really good.
Like catchphrase, yeah.
Pass me the hot sauce.
Always fresh, lots of head shaking. Best when fresh, always fresh, never frozen, and best when fried. I like it.
Nate loves it. He's ready to put that on a t-shirt.
I feel accused. Do they think we're fried when we...
I'm not sure if they're for us or against us, but it's a positive review. It was 5 stars. I'll roll with it.
Frenemy.
Padcast is the best part of that.
Padcast.
Like that's hidden in there, and that's the best part.
Oh, man. Okay. What's new with you, Travis?
Okay. I've got a million things new, so we're going to have to talk about some of these. Does anybody want to talk about the live show?
I don't even want to go to the live show.
Whatever.
That's a joke, everyone.
So if you follow us on social media, last week we put up the site for the event page on Facebook.
Can we do some clarifications on the live show right now?
Please, Emily.
Listen, y'all, the live show is free to you as a listener. We just want to hang out and see your pretty faces. But we need you to, I'm doing bunny ears around this word, buy. Quote unquote, buy a ticket on this Eventbrite site that Travis has set up. So we know you're coming and we can feed your asses. Okay. It's not going to cost you anything. We just need to know you're coming and we want your buy-in by buying a ticket.
No, beer will cost you.
Yeah.
At the brewery, you got to buy your own beer.
You got to buy your own beer, but it's worth buying.
Yeah. It's good beer. We're doing this at Grove Roots Brewery in our hometown of Winter Haven, Florida. Nate's coming down from the snowy tundra of Atlanta, Georgia.
Snowy tundra. You know, it was 60 degrees the other morning.
Wow.
In the middle of June.
I haven't seen 60 in a minute.
I could see my breath. It was ridiculous.
Wow.
Anyway, so, continue.
We put this up, and this has limited seating capacity. Like, this event is going to sell out, and we are probably halfway through the tickets, and we haven't talked on the show about it yet. Like, really. We haven't made the announcement. Really? Hey, it's official. So, the live show is August 24th. Doors are going to open at 6, and we're going to probably do some food from 6 to 6:30, 6:45, something like that. And then the show will start and run till about 8:30. It is going to be awesome. We want to encourage you, because it's free, if you have someone that doesn't hunt or fish, if you have someone that hasn't listened to the podcast that you think would have a good time, bring your wives, bring your friends, bring your husbands, bring everybody you know. Was that funny?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah, it's the opposite of that. Don't hide them.
Bring
so
them.
Super excited. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers has taken on the title sponsor role, so we're super excited to partner with them. We've talked about them a billion times on the show, but big thanks to them for coming in and helping offset the cost of some of this. So just a big deal. Like, we're excited about it. It's gonna be our 100th episode. So it's going to actually be recorded a week or so before episode 100, but it'll air on the podcast as our 100th episode. But there will be some stuff. If you come to the live show, you're going to get some stuff you don't get.
Yeah, we have like a lot of fun audience participation type things
it's
planned.
It's going to be unlike anything you've been to. This is not going to be a Ducks Unlimited banquet. This is not going to be a CCA banquet. This is not going
to
be...
Are we going to ask everyone to take their shoes off when we do a game as the foot?
No, we're not going to make anyone take their shoes off. We are still looking for gold and silver level sponsors. So if you're interested in that, please reach out to one of us and we'd love to get you on board with that. It's going to be a really cool deal to like get your name out there in the outdoors community in Florida and beyond.
And beyond.
It's like Toy Story 4 all up in here. Also, while we're doing some housekeeping right here, I want to talk hat sales. We went live with hats last week.
Yes, you see this? We did. Yes, we certainly did.
What do you think?
I love our hats. They turned out better than I ever expected.
Nate, which one's your favorite?
They're awesome. My favorite is probably the black on black, but I really like the camo one. as well.
I think the camo is my favorite. They all fit the same, but I just like the way the camo one looks.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're a black on black, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely black on black. But I think I would like the camo, and I think we're going to do another run where we get black text on the camo. I think we should do that.
Oh, yeah,
I think that would be sick for duck season.
Yeah.
But yeah. But they all look super sharp, and the embroidery turned out great, and they're just, like, beautiful, and I'm so proud of them.
Friends of the show, Joe Polito's fiance, Stephanie Hoche. Mm-hmm. Is Stephanie a friend of the show, you think, at this point?
I mean, she's the fiance of the show. Official? Oh, no, wait.
No, Nate has the official fiance of the show.
She's the official designer of the show.
There you go. The official graphic artist of the show. She did a killer job on that logo. Yeah. Like, it looks sick.
Anyways, where can they find those hats if you want them?
castandblastfl.com/shop.
Or our Facebook page.
Or our Facebook page at castandblastfl on Facebook.
Do you have to put the at sign on Facebook?
No, but you can.
Huh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's what all the youths are doing these days.
Youths, the street youths. Okay, so every week we bring you a show. Good, bad, ugly, whether you like it or not.
You may not want it.
It's free. So we got to start paying some bills around here. And one way we're going to do it is talk about Hallett Insurance.
Yeah, Fletcher Hallett has been a longtime listener of the show. He's a friend of the show. Like, we've got reviews from Fletcher before. So there you go. He's first in line on that. But he owns Hallett Insurance Company, which is in St. Augustine. But they can do policies anywhere in the state. One of the things he wanted us to talk to you guys about is boat insurance. You know, there's a lot of a liability policy, a liability only policy on a boat. Small, medium sized boat can be about $10 a month. Like, boat insurance is not a very expensive thing. We carry it on ours. We have multiple boats. We have multiple boat policies. It's a really easy peace of mind. So if you don't have boat insurance, reach out to Fletcher. He's got affordable rates. You know, if you go to like a Geico or a Progressive or one of those places to shop boat insurance, they're just going to give you their deal. What Fletcher is able to do is go out and shop multiple providers and get you the best deal that he can get for you. So covers wrecks, covers liability, covers theft. He can do roadside and on-water towing. It's affordable. So if you're interested in that, please reach out to Fletcher. Tell him we sent you. Best way to get a hold of him is actually email fhallett, 2 L's and 2 T's. So fhallett at hallettins.com, hallettins.com. Or you can give him a call at 904-315-5812, and Fletcher will get you the best policy he can get you. So we've been why are you shaking ranch dressing right now? So we've been out of town for a couple of weeks. We've been slammed, busy, just all over the place, and we feel like we've got to regroup and reconnect with our people in the Cast and Blast Army and kind of check in on what's happened while we were away. So a couple of episodes dropped. First one was Fishing Songs, the Fishing Songs Draft. And there has been a
classic in its own time.
Emily wanted to write herself in her own review for that. Nate, there's been a lot of feedback on that episode. I'm just going to... Did you see... Are you on Twitter?
I'm not.
Did you see... Well, yeah, I know you saw it. Did you see the Twitter war with friend of the show, Jared Nobles?
The war with me that I was in, that I was a casualty of? Yeah, I saw the war, Travis.
Would you like to discuss it?
I wouldn't. I'm traumatized. Don't step on my gown.
He was not.
What was his name? Taylor?
Jared. Why are you so bad at this?
Because Taylor Swift is who I was thinking of, and then it was Jared.
He's not Sorry. Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift does not listen to our knowledge.
You're welcome to listen, Taylor.
Jared was fine with Emily picking Hotel California as a fishing song, but was not okay with Baby Shark as a fishing song.
What? That's weird.
Yeah, so somehow he was cool with the logic in the way she made the connection to Hotel California. He was much less cool with the way she made the connection to Baby Shark.
And it was a fishing song. It's like being like, yo, like, put some Italian dressing on your taco. I don't mind about that. Oh, whoa, you're putting hot sauce on it? That doesn't go there. Like, that's just, like, the weirdest.
Wait, can you give me that analogy again? It's like putting Italian dressing on your taco.
And being fine with it.
That's like what...
Being okay saying with Hotel California was okay.
Okay.
And then, but saying putting hot sauce on a taco was ridiculous.
Which is a pretty normal procedure.
Right. Like, so, Baby Shark should be about fishing.
I mean, a shark is a fish, though.
Yeah, at least it was, like, in the water.
That's a much smaller leap than Hotel California.
That's my point.
There was a lot. Okay, couple songs got pushback. One, a friend of ours on Twitter. Why am I talking about Twitter? Who uses Twitter?
Twitter.
Twitter's the best, you guys. G.A. Hunter, Georgia Hunter 80 on Twitter, asked us to check out a song by Aaron Watson called Fish. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No.
He's a country artist. He's been around a long time, like since the 90s. I'm going to give you some lyrics from this song that you're going to love, Emily. He broke your heart and he tore your dreams in two, and he kissed a bottom feeding sucker fish in front of you. Deep down you know that it was never going to last, because he's a piece of stink bait, always acting like a bass.
That's poetry.
Did you get misty-eyed?
I did.
So I thought it was actually really good. Like, it was in the genre of probably late 90s country music. So it was par for the course.
It's better than Work It by Missy Elliott. But
yes, much better than Work It by Missy Elliott.
How dare you?
Robert
Also, is it weird that he wrote that song, which is from the point of, like, was a woman's heart broken?
Yes. And I thought it was weird too, but I read through it three times. And I think if you read the whole song, he was, and I listened to it too, he was talking about the girl who was now getting her heart broken, but it was appropriate for a guy to be doing it.
Okay.
Maybe he was a former jilted lover and she was getting what she deserved.
Maybe.
All right, whatever.
By the way, have y'all noticed that the sound is different on this episode? If you have, we are aware and we're working on it. We've had some technical issues and Nate is being piped in through the miracle of science.
Yeah.
Dean Gerber, friend of the show, Dean Gerber.
Dean.
And a couple of other folks called us out for not mentioning Luke Bryan hunting, fishing, loving every day. Nate, do you want to address that?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues with that song that I felt like I didn't really want to get into that day. So it got axed. It got left on the cutting room floor.
The main problem I have with that song is if you're high on a hill looking at a field downwind.
Sitting on a field downwind, like, that is the wrong spot to be in. If you're sitting, if you're looking at a field downwind, you're looking at the field the wrong way.
Right, and he's high on a
hill.
Well, he's high on a hill looking at that field. Why doesn't he just turn around and look the other way? Is this Luke's first day hunting?
Well, maybe, but
so he's upwind
in a field. But yeah, he's upwind. Every deer that pops in that field is going to be gone before he even sees them. Probably, I don't know. There's a lot of things going on with that song that.
Your boy, Robert Earl Keen.
Yeah.
5 pound bass fame. He got a lot of love. Josh Watts, one of our BHA guys. Oh, Mike Keaton, Josh Watts. They did describe him, however, as the great REK. And I'm not sure that's an appropriate descriptor.
REK. The great REK.
Yeah, the great REK. I feel like that's going a bit too far. We also
I've never really heard of that, but
we also dropped Things Fishermen Like. Do we call it Things Fishermen Like or Things Fishermen Love? I think we called it Things Fishermen Like.
Things Fishermen Like.
A redux.
A redux.
So that came out last week, and boat names got a lot of feedback. And there were some inappropriate boat names that we weren't allowed to share on the show. Mm-hmm. But there were also some appropriate boat names. And one omission, and you'll like this name.
Are you going to share any of the boat names, or are you just telling people we got more boat names?
We got more boat names, and I can't share them.
Oh.
Like, they were...
Save that for Patreon.
Yeah, they were kind of offhand descriptors of deviant acts.
Like what? Stealing a Coke?
No, none of the boats were named Stealing a Coke.
Were they named French Dressing on a Taco?
Yes, that's what they were named.
Sorry, Mom.
You'll like this omission that we actually got from three different people, and that was bragging about your live well system in your boat. So they said that kind of went hand in hand with catching bait.
Wow.
Yes.
But the idea,
because dudes like Jerry Rig like rig up their live well system to be like, I can keep bait for 48 hours. it like pulls all the toxins down to the bottom and comes up the top and throws them out the back. And,
it's oxygenating, but it's not over oxygenating. I've got a thermal imager in there that's measuring the water temperature and oxygenation levels, and
I put oxygen and carbon dioxide in there just to balance it out.
It's healthier for the bait in my live well than it is in nature.
Yeah.
They put like river rocks at the bottom.
I've got seagrass growing in the bottom of my live well that I planted.
That little castle, they stick it in there like it's a fish tank.
Yeah. One guy said, yeah, and then the other thing they do is they want to argue. You're like, man, I can keep 1,000 whitebait alive in my well all day. Really? Because I can keep about 1,500 alive in my well. And then somebody else is like, oh, really? Because I can keep 3,000 alive in my well. Like, it's always like a one-upsmanship of
bait. You see this 100-gallon bucket right here?
Yeah. I don't have rod lockers. These are all live wells. Yeah. It's just all circulatory around the boat.
I got a 5x5 fishing platform, and the rest of it's a live well.
I got the chance to go to Washington, D.C., which we talked about a little bit. So a lot of folks have asked me, how was D.C.? So I'm going to try to do a quick recap on that. Jump in if there's anything I missed that I've ranted to you guys about. But a friend of the show, Bill Cooksey, he with National Wildlife Federation, they brought me up to Washington, D.C. along with some other folks, a guy from West from Rattle Trap and Eric from out West. He's a duck hunting guy from out West. And we were able to talk about forage fish legislation. Did you know forage fish are not regulated?
Forage fish meaning like bait fish.
Yeah, like sardines, anchovies, not menhaden. Menhaden were left out of this bill. So there was a proposed bill to adopt some legislation to basically give the fisheries management councils the ability to put some regulations around that for commercial fishing. So it wouldn't affect. I went into it with a little bit of trepidation because I was worried it was going to like affect me as a guide going out and netting my 1,200 baits that I can keep alive.
Right, right.
Those are in state waters. Like, it wouldn't affect that in the least. So this is gotcha. Like offshore, seine nets, purse seines, that kind of stuff. Big harvest for, they put a lot of it in pet food. They put a lot of it in cosmetics. Seemed like a pretty straightforward bill, but it was really a cool experience. I got to go to D.C. I got to walk around the office buildings for the House, meet with a bunch of different congressmen, some legislative aides, my congressman. And so a couple of them were like, hey, we'll help co-sponsor that bill. That was really cool. Like to feel like you had a conversation with them and were able to get them engaged at that level. And it was cool to talk to them about some other issues that we see in the state. Spraying, Everglades restoration, Kissimmee River restoration, just overall population problems, septic, sewage. So some of that stuff isn't handled at the federal level, but still it was nice to be able to have those conversations. So I was super pumped to be able to go and kind of represent us in D.C. Not just us, yeah, the three man. Of us, but also our listeners. And it was a big absolutely. Privilege.
Yeah, we were absolutely. Super proud of you for that, man.
So thank you to the National Wildlife Federation for allowing me to do that. And one of the really cool parts about it was getting to meet the staff of NWF, some of the folks that they brought in, like a lot of really good fishermen in that organization, a lot of good sportsmen in that organization, like people that really care about hunting and fishing. And anyway, it was fun to be a part of that. We have to do a brief fishing recap, Nate, because we, since we've last talked to our people, you and I have spent a lot of time on a boat together.
Right.
Probably not as much as we should because some of that got interrupted by Washington, D.C., but we did spend a lot of time on a boat together. Here's the thing I want to tell people. I'm stealing from my release, but the live target mullet is garbage.
Yeah, it's not a great bait. It's not a great bait.
I'll let you tell what happened. But I've talked about this thing before on the show. I got it a couple years ago for Christmas or something, and it's a soft body mullet topwater bait. So it looks kind of like a bass frog, like the way the body is. It's soft. And the hook sticks out the top. It rides up. And you're supposed to be able to throw it out and walk the dog. And when you get all that like snotty seaweed and everything in there, you could rip it right over top of it like a frog. Brilliant design, right? It's going to be the greatest bait ever. Would you like to recap what happened?
Yeah, so every third cast, you had to squeeze it out because it would get water in it.
Full of water.
Yeah.
Which changed this action.
The only thing I think that likes finger mullet now are ladyfish.
Yeah, it was a killer ladyfish bait. I bet I caught 50.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You had like thousands of ladyfish hits with that thing.
How many? Meanwhile, you're throwing what were you throwing? A skitter walk, right next to me.
I was throwing a spitting image, a head and spitting image,
and catching snook on every third cast. Like they were striking. So I was disappointed in that.
Yeah, it looks good. Like. It looks just like a finger mullet, but
so I have
did not work just like a finger mullet.
Is that the one that I threw?
yeah,
a ton that one
you
day.
You could throw it a million miles. You never get a bite on it.
You can throw it so far. But it's really hard to, like, I feel like getting anything to walk is muscle memory a little bit. And the weight is never consistent on that
Correct.
Thing because it so fills it up with water differently. Yeah, it's so hard to get it to walk.
So I do have a theory, though. I've thought about cutting the tail off of it. Because I think that tail, because it's a actual mullet-shaped tail, acts as a little bit like a rudder.
Yeah,
and so I think it would still, it. Yeah, I think it would still walk. Like, you know how a spitting image or a skitter walk or whatever, Zaraspook doesn't have a tail, and it walks fine. So I think if we cut that down, it would maybe walk right. It'd still fill up with water, but I think you could keep the action all the way in.
Yeah, because every other topwater bait comes down to a point at the end.
Right.
But it doesn't have like a tail or anything.
Mm-hmm. The other theory that I've had is I've thought about buying some rattles, like some worm rattles. Do they still make that? I haven't bass fished in so long. Like, that's still a thing, right? Mm-hmm. I thought about buying some rattles and putting them in it so it had a little bit more noise. Because you get the noise of the surface, but everything you were throwing was a rattling bait, and it seemed to get a lot more strikes.
Yeah.
We definitely fished a flat and had an alligator follow us around.
We did.
For a while. Did we tell you this?
No.
Yeah, we had an alligator it followed Nate's boat around while we were just trolling motor through top waters.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy.
Did y'all feed it anything?
Yeah, he was like,
no, we didn't feed it anything. Are we terrorists?
No. Okay. We're not idiots. We're from Florida. We are actually from Florida.
I didn't even try to catch it more than once.
Travis.
I did throw a lure. I hit it once with that big old mullet lure because I could throw it 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't even hit it. It looked at it. I was like, oh, that's a fake mullet.
Followed it back to the boat, yeah.
So weird fishing so far this year. Like, I'm still running charters and stuff, but we've caught a lot of fish. We haven't caught a lot of quality fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nothing giant for sure. But we did catch a lot of fish last week.
Yeah, I would say, because I've been fishing even into this week and beyond, I would say I don't think we've caught a snook over the slot, maybe mid-slot, all like since May.
Yeah.
And I don't think you guys caught any that nice, did you?
We caught a couple of like low slot. 27, 28,
29.
Yeah, yeah. We caught a couple of fish like that, but nothing over that for sure.
This is the time of year when usually we see a lot of 35-inch plus fish, and we're just not catching them. And it just may be bad luck because I'm not seeing them. I'm seeing other guys catching them and stuff, but it's kind of been an off year for that for me.
Yeah, we have caught a lot of redfish, though.
A lot of redfish, but also those, well, I haven't seen any over slot on that either. They've all been perfectly in the slot.
Yeah.
Or pup reds. So, and our snapper fishery seems to be down a little bit. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's a little weird. Usually we can limit out on snapper pretty quickly in some of the spots we go to, but there's a lot of like 7-inchers.
Do you think that's a product of like a almost like a single species management? Like we've started putting more pressure on snapper because we've taken away trout, snook, redfish, so you can't harvest those. Then you couple that in with whatever the fishery got hit with red tide, and now we've got
I don't know. I think it's a possibility, but I don't know if it's been long enough for that to really happen.
And that fishery probably got hit hard by the red tide as well. Like, those fish are pretty susceptible to it. The one cool thing I did do a couple times, and you and my wife both chickened out on this. My son's the only one to participate, was scorpion hunting. And I got a lot of feedback on social media about this.
I would like to reject the term chickened out.
Okay. What would you like to call it? Wimped out?
Didn't want to go sweat and get covered in bug spray and not. It just didn't seem fun. It wasn't scary.
So much fun. So scorpions, if you did not know, will glow under a black light. Does this count? This counts as outdoors.
The demon monsters that they are.
Yeah. And we have three types of scorpions in Florida, but these are the main two. There's bark scorpions, which are those big, nasty black ones that look like they would kill you. And then we have, I forget what the other one's called, but it's the one we always called like a wood scorpion. We see them a lot, or even around the house and stuff. Well, not a lot, but anywhere you find a wood pile. Anyway, Will and I went out and we killed one, and when we killed it, a million babies came off its back. It just went in every direction.
That's the stuff of nightmares, man.
It was super creepy. So it was a lot of fun. A lot of people did not know that they glowed in the dark. So anyway, we are back. We are ready for action. We're back and better than ever. Hopefully this catches you guys up on everything we had cooking in our lives. We'll get some keeps and releases in. And that's it. Stay woke, but don't stay woke yet. Nate, what is your release?
My release is driving a boat in the dark 6 times in one night, like across the bay and back 6 times in one night for various reasons.
Was I one of those reasons?
One of those reasons was you. We won't get into the other reasons, but yeah, that was not a lot of fun, and I'd rather not do that again.
Nerve-wracking.
It's a little nerve-wracking.
I will say, though, like when we went to go get Travis, I feel totally safe with you. Like, I trust your judgment implicitly. You're one of like 3 men in my life I will say that about.
Yeah. There was a reason I asked you to come pick me up. I mean, it doesn't reflect poorly on our dads, but at some point, like, your vision at night gets harder and harder.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, for those that don't know, we stay on an island during the summer quite a bit. And this week, Nate and his family happened to be down there, and that was when I had to go to the DC trip. I got back from the DC trip at what? It was like midnight, right? It was like 12:15. And so I got Nate to come get me, and I saw him coming across there taking the exact path I would have taken. It was awesome.
You know.
Yeah, skillfully navigating it.
Well,
and you guys
don't make me do it again.
Yeah, you had some family stuff and then some flights, and like it was crazy. You had a weird night.
Tough night, but we got through it.
Everybody's cool.
Yeah.
Everybody's good.
What's your release, Trev?
My release, I spoiled already, is the Live Target mullet.
Yeah.
And I don't want to even get it back into it, but I'm just so bummed about it. Like, maybe I'm wrong. Like, I would be okay with being wrong about it. Like, I would like to be wrong about it. But I have 3 of them, and this has happened with all 3 of them. Like, so I have all 3 sizes. It's not like that size works worse. Or
I wonder if you can, like, plug the hole somehow to where it doesn't fill up.
I don't know. Because the hook goes all the way through the soft body, so it does fill up.
Oh, that's true.
Mm.
Live Target, hit us up. Like, I want to make this right. I want to make it better.
Yeah.
So give us a ring. I'm going to talk to them at iCast about this specific mullet. What is your release, Emily?
Okay. So I think I've talked on this show about 50,000 times about Walmart grocery pickup and how it's changed my life. And something really cool, this is not an ad that they do, is they give you a goodie bag every once in a while. They'll just run these promotions. Yeah. So they literally gave us a bag, like a reusable grocery tote bag full of samples. Okay.
For Father's Day.
This is not the release. The release is one of these items in this bag, which sent me into a rant.
A rage. Like, she was hitting me as she was driving the car.
are we transitioning seamlessly into release? You're releasing.
She's releasing.
I am releasing. Yeah, sorry. I went a long way to get here.
Started like a keep, yeah.
Yeah. Got it. So here's what it is. I'm so irritated by this. It's a dipping sauce from Hidden Valley. It's a ranch. The flavor is ranch dipped pizza.
Why not just use pizza to dip in the ranch? Just give me ranch.
They gave us a flavor of effing. It's 2 things already dipped in a dip. Who does that? And like, what does it taste like? I'm going to put a carrot and dip it in the. Oh, it tastes like I dipped a carrot in a pizza in a ranch dip. Like.
What does it taste like if you dip a pretzel in it?
It tastes like you dipped a pretzel in a pizza in a ranch dip.
What does it taste like if you dip a chicken wing in it?
That's same. Everything tastes like it's wrapped in pizza and dipped in ranch, which maybe that's not a bad idea to eat most food that way. That's a great delivery method. What would
it taste like if you dipped a chip in it?
So I am releasing this. This is.
She hasn't even tried it. She's just so angry about it. I'm not going to try it because I don't eat ranch dressing.
It's an unholy thing, I believe, to produce this. It's a union. It's blasphemous.
Look, just give me ranch and give me a piece of pizza.
Yeah.
I dip my pizza in ranch all the time, but I don't want a dip that tastes like I dip my pizza in ranch. Like, I don't want that to be one thing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I don't know with you. What kind of, like, test groups they ran this in front of. Everyone is, the world's gone to hell.
Yeah. Longtime listeners will know that we did a condiment draft? We did a condiment draft one time.
We did. I like the
And
Trojan.
I could not participate because I don't do condiments. And I don't do ranch. That's how I ended up with kids. And I don't do ranch. So I can't speak to this. I wouldn't eat this if you paid me $100.
Well, if I paid you $101?
I wouldn't eat it.
I think we should have you try it at the live show.
This?
Yep.
No, there's no chance. That would be like Fear Factor. We'll take it to the live show, though. That might be entertaining. We'll give it to someone as a door prize.
Okay.
There you go.
We want to do raffles. Maybe that's something we could do as a raffle.
I would like it. Oh my God. What if we got like a 1-star review and someone said this podcast sounds like pizza dipped in ranch flavored dip tastes.
Since we went down that road, did you see the guy that gamed Yelp? Mm-mm. I'll try to find this article and put it in the show notes. Yelp was controlling so much market share with 5-star reviews. Mm-hmm. And like the only way that they didn't get 5-star reviews was to get higher up the list and perpetuate the cycle and pay Yelp. And so he got mad about it and he couldn't afford it. He owned a little business pizza place. So he started asking people to give a 1-star review and he would give you a discount on your pizza. Mm-hmm. And so now he's the worst rated restaurant on Yelp. But he celebrates that because he's got like 28,000 1-star reviews because so many people come there just to live. Yeah.
He's just trying to mess up their algorithm.
Yeah.
Wow. That's awful, but funny.
Are we going to do keeps, Nate?
So my keep is the Hurricane Calico Jack rods.
Yes. That was a nice.
Those things, we picked up 4 of them because we got all our gear is aging. And so we're just like trying to start updating some stuff. So we picked up 4 of these rods, 7.5-foot medium action. And man, they're sweet. They're smooth. They're light. They have great action, great sensitivity.
What'd you have on that? You had the Florida Fishing Products reels on there. And yeah, what else did you have?
Two of them had Florida Fishing Products. And then 2 of them had the Pin Battles.
Yeah, okay.
The red ones. And I love those Pin Battles too. For an inexpensive reel, those things are.
What are they? Sweet. $70?
Yeah, something 60, like that. 60, $70. Yeah. But yeah, no, even the rods are like $75, $80. So they're not that expensive.
So you're out the door with a good combo there for $160.
Yeah.
Or you throw a nicer reel like an FFP. I don't know what those are now, $150.
Yeah, $150, $160, something like that. But yeah, no, I was into it.
I was impressed with those rods. I picked those up, and I'm a Falcon guy. But those Calico Jacks, they casted well. The cork, I like cork handles. I don't like split grips.
I do too.
Like, I just am funny about that. So, dude, we're doing like some really technical fishing heavy talk in this episode, aren't we? Really
loving it.
We are like geniuses on this stuff. But yeah, no, I was impressed with those. That's the company that makes Redbone, right?
Yeah.
Hurricane.
And you know, we love Redbone rods.
Back in the day, I used to have a lot of Redbones because if you broke one, you could take it back to Sports Authority and they'd hand you a new one.
Yeah, but Sports Authority is no more.
They're defunct. My keep is ICAST coming up July 9th through the 12th in O-Town, Orlando, Florida.
Close.
City so nice they named it twice. So very excited about that. Looking forward to reconnecting with some old friends and seeing some new products. And that was one of our most popular shows last year was we did the ICAST review. So really excited about that. If you're going to be at ICAST, make sure you shoot me a message. Let's connect. Going to start trying to do some more interviews, maybe for a second show as we go into the fall. So going to try to get some of those in the can at ICAST and talk to some folks that are interesting to me and hopefully our listeners.
That'd be sweet.
What's yours?
So my keep is T-Swizzle.
Taylor Swift.
She dropped a fire new track.
Did you hear the song?
I have not heard the song.
Oh, it's so good. It's called You Need to Calm Down. And I love music when the lyrics make me laugh.
Yep.
And this one made me laugh in delight at how good it was. So if you haven't listened to it, it's all over the whole internet.
They're calling it the gay anthem of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it takes on like gay rights. And I don't want to, I'll thread this needle really carefully, I hope. I don't want to besmirch that. But there's a lot of lyrics in that song because I love Taylor Swift. Like, mm-hmm. I love Taylor Swift. There's a lot of lyrics in that song that I was like, I told Emily, I was like, man, this really would be appropriate for most duck hunting groups and most fishing groups.
You need to calm down.
Talking about people need to calm down. Why are you messing with my obsession? Like, you just need to calm down. You need to step off. You need to, why are you coming at me on social media? You don't even know me.
Right.
You know, when it's through a tweet, it's a cop out, but when it's on the street, it's a knockout. Like, why can't we have a real conversation versus doing it through? So I kind of co-opted a little bit of it in my mind for some other stuff, but she's so creative.
She's just the best.
T-Swizzle.
T-Swizzle.
Do you think she listens?
Probably.
You think so?
I think she might.
Do you think some of our listeners, like we have such a cadre of listeners in that arena that they can't leave reviews because
they're so famous?
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. You think that's true?
Oh
yeah.
I like that idea. I'm into that.
I thought that D-Wood Nasty was Taylor for a
Did
minute,
you?
Just disguising. I never brought that up.
D-Wood Nasty has tickets to the live show. Wow. She just like schoolgirl crushed, like her eyes rolled back in her head. It was awesome.
Is that what that was?
I don't know what it was. It was terrifying a little bit. Or you smelled something.
Okay.
One or the other. Anyway.
Are we out of keeps?
Yeah, I think that was it.
We rusty at this, y'all.
It's like we have
we
one going.
We did 2 weeks
wow.
off, and we're like, hey.
Back in the swing of things. Man, knock the dust off.
All right. Y'all stay woke.